Don't be so prideful and say, I don't need restoration. You need restoration.
Amen.
Don't get to a point where you say, well, restore what? I mean, come on, I got this. No, you'll end up like Jerry Nadler. That guy who said, we don't need God. There's no bearing in this Congress. Well, you need him desperately all the time. So our January series was restoration. Last month, our series was Living Life's Fullest Potential. God, that's what God wants to do. He wants you to reach your potential as a Christian, as a person, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, a mother, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, as a grandchild. He wants you to reach his... And we talked about the thieves that hinder us from that. This month, we're talking about the abiding word. How many of you know that the word of God is alive? It is a living thing. And the word abide means to stay. It means to continue. It means to dwell. It means to endure. It means to be present. It means to remain. And it means to stand. You know, when we do that, when we stay in the word, when we continue in the word, Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. When you continue in the word, when you dwell in the word of God, and the word dwells in us, we endure by the word. It says through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. We endure. You need endurance. That word patience means endurance. When we remain in the word, when we are present, let the word be a present truth to us. Not something in the past, historically, not something that will one day... You know, that gets me too, man. There's people who love God. They are born again people, but they say everything is past. It's all gone. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because in their attempt to protect God, what they do is they relegate all of God's power to sometime in the past or sometime in the future. Never now, when you need it. Does that speak to you?
Yes.
You don't have to settle for that. God's got more and 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 more, more than enough for every time. Every time you come to him, he's more than enough. Every time you come to him and try and walk in truth, he's the greater one on the inside of you. He's the greater one. Greater than what? Doesn't matter. He's greater. More than what? Doesn't matter. More than enough. So it's a word abiding in him, and his word abiding in you is a stance of vigilance. It's not a passive word. It's being vigilant. It's where you find absolute rest and confidence in your God. It's walking as David walked, walking as Daniel walked, who put the word of God first, regardless of his position, regardless of, and he had a really high position. And if you have a high position, you need to know it's not about your position, it's about the word of God. That's what will protect you from in the lion's den. Okay. I was going to build that up to something, but I want to get into something else just now. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And, you know, when we open up the Bible, you know what time it is. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Is this word God? Is the word God?
Yes.
It can be lying on the shelf for years. You pick it up and believe it, man, it comes alive. How about it? Amen. The word abides in me. Say that. The word abides in me.
The word abides in me.
The word lives big in me today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the word of God is quick. That means living. It's alive. You know, when God quickens the dead, it means he gives life to the dead. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Keep reading. Verse 13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Do we have the Amplified in there, John? The Amplified Classic? I'll read it to you then. It says, for the word of God, the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. You need some energy? You need to be a little more effective? It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest part of our nature. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. You know, when we read the Word of God, it's reading us. It opens you up. It lays you naked. It takes all your excuses and goes this way with it. Takes all of your reasonings and all of man's logic and puts this way. And God just wants to clear the table, and he wants to deal with us in truth in the inward parts. Many of us haven't been there in a long time. Truth in the inner parts. Time to get honest before God today. Because you know why? No matter how bad you are, he will never condemn you if you come to him. Amen. He will never do that. Condemnation is something, it's a tool of the devil. The world's already under condemnation. Jesus came to save the world, not to condemn it. There's enough condemnation already. And verse 13 in the Amplified says, and not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. Have you ever seen a gnat? God knows what's going on inside of that gnat. He knows where that gnat, he knows what that gnat wants to do before the gnat knows what he wants to do. If he knows that, he knows everything about you. You're bigger. You're easier to read. Because you get to speak and the gnat doesn't. And when you speak, that's when the devil knows where he can hit you the worst. But when you speak God's word, he wants to get out of the way because it's a two-edged sword. It's like putting a loaded pistol in the hands of a two-year-old. He doesn't want to be in the room. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. The word him, that personifies him. The word he. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who him? The word. He's alive, he's a living thing, he's a living person. The word, you cannot separate an honest man from his word. In fact, you can't separate a person from his word. Either it's good or it's bad. And if his word is no good, he's not good. If his word is good, he's good. Yeah. So you cannot separate God from his word. They are inseparable. They are one and the same. Praise God. You know, we need to understand this. The Word of God living, more accurately, it's a living thing. It's a living thing. It's like it's seed. And we need to understand that living things reproduce after their own kind. And God uses His Word to reproduce Himself in you. You have the life of God. When you were born again, you have His life breathed into you. And God has good breath. That just came to me just now. It's like a little tickle. God wants us happy today. The Word of God is literally pregnant with His life. It's pregnant with His power. It's pregnant with faith. It's pregnant with hope. It's pregnant with love. It is pregnant with endurance and inner strength, things that we need, moral strength. It's pregnant with all of that. And when it gets down inside of us, we start to conceive whatever is in that word, in that seed. And our spirit man starts to reproduce. You know, the soil has no choice. The seed actually has dominion over the soil. Just like the Word has dominion in our hearts, and He makes room for Himself in our life. And things start rearranging. And so that seed goes in and starts to germinate and reproduce His life, His attributes in our life, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I say in Galatians chapter 5, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, they put a capital S there. But if you look at it in context, he's talking about the difference between your flesh and your spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is actually the fruit of the recreated human spirit. You have it. All you have to do is yield to it. Yield to love. Yield to joy. That might be a lot of yielding, but I believe in you. Yield to the peace of God when you're in a storm. Yield to patience. Yield to goodness. You know, you don't have to spout off about everything that you know. You don't. Do you see what I mean? Patience. Self-control. Taking dominion over your life and surrendering it to God's will. It's a powerful thing. Now, today I'm talking about that. You know, that was the sound in a manger a long time ago. Cry of a baby. So today we're talking about the Word and prayer. We've got to get this concept of the reproduction of the Word of God in all facets of our life, including prayer. Praying the Word. When you pray the Word, whatever is in the Word will fill your prayer. And if there's anything God will agree with, it's His own Word. How do you know? Jesus knows how to get His prayers answered. It's always the Word. He always prays the Word. Praise the Word. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Yeah, I know that. They're forgiven. Mercy entered the covenant right there. More mercy. So it doesn't depend on what you know. It depends on who you know. So we're talking about the Word of God. Turn with me to John chapter 15, and we'll look at this. Jesus is at the Last Supper. This is right after they said, I'm going to be the greatest, and they were full of themselves, weren't they? Just like us. John 15:7 says this. If you abide in me, that means if you live in me, if you dwell in me, if you stand in me, if you're present in me, if you abide and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire or what you will, and it shall be done for you. What does it say? If you abide. See, there's that if again. If kind of puts it over to us, right? it gives us a responsibility to dwell in him, to abide in him, to stand in him, to endure in him, to be in him. You're not in Adam anymore. You're in Christ. Do you want your prayers to be answered?
Yes.
That's a big yes. That's half of you just said yes. Do you want your prayers to be answered?
Yes.
Well, everybody wants their prayers to be answered. We have a God who answers prayer. He's the one who initiated this. He's the one that said, ask and you shall receive. Knock, it'll be open. Seek and you'll find. He's the one who initiated. He wants you to pray to him. He wants to answer your prayers before you pray. He knows what you need before you do. Like I said last time, he knows what you need 5 years from now, 15 years from now. Don't think you want to know what, when you want to know who your spouse is, and don't think that you make that choice alone, because God knows what you need, who you need. Don't make that choice alone. Don't do it out of pressure or because of a bad situation that you may be in and you need that other person. If you're led by need, you're not led by the Holy Spirit. If you're not led by numbers, if you're led by numbers, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. If you're led by shortages and things, you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. You can't be led by those things that all the rest of the world is chasing after and think that God is, he doesn't, it says, they are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Now, that doesn't mean you're not saved if you're not led. Sons and children are two different things. It goes into that in Galatians. I was a child, but now I'm a son. That means a maturity. Amen? Okay. Do you want your prayers answered? Well, then there's a condition. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done. He didn't say there's a good chance it might be on the list. Yeah, or I just could answer you if it's my will.
Right.
If you don't know what God's will is, you have no business asking him. Many people want God's prayers, want their prayers, God to answer their prayers, but they don't want to meet the conditions.
Right.
There is a condition to these things. And you know what? Letting go of your will is a lot easier than you think, because it takes just as much time to doubt God as it does to believe him. It takes as much effort. In fact, it takes more effort not to believe God than it does to believe him. Because when the word is in your heart, the word does the talking, the word does the teaching. The Holy Spirit uses the word to bring things to life in your life. Life in your life, yeah. His life. Are you guys out there this morning?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get someplace here. But Jesus, look at this. Jesus is making a connection here. He's making a connection with the word and prayer. Do you see it? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire. He is connecting his word. He wants you to have his word. He wants you to approach him with his word so that he can fulfill his word, which is his will. You can't separate a man's will from his word, can you? God doesn't say one thing and mean something else. No. He doesn't give with one hand and take with another. People blame that Job for too long. And that has been totally misrepresented and mistaught. It's not, and those things aren't true. God knew what the devil was doing, and he even said so. God doesn't do that. What he said is his word. The fact that he healed one person, and that he is no respecter of persons, forever, let it be said, let it be shouted throughout the halls of eternity, it is his will to heal you.
Yes.
It is his will to save you. What does he gain by not saving somebody? You know a doctrine that says if God wants some people to be saved and some people to go to hell? Are you kidding me? He went through that so he could put the majority of people in hell? He wants all of them. He wants his harvest. He loves all of them. He wants all of them, from the most rank, gutter-ridden sinner to the most self-righteous, velvet-lined gutter of a person. He wants them all because he can change them all. And he can make them be what they were created to be if they'll only do what his word says to do. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire and it will be done to you. Is that a lie or is that the truth? Where do you want to live? In God, in the truth, in the word. If you abide in Christ, focus, stand, endure. Oh, you're going to endure a lot being in Christ. But it all has to do with your flesh. None of it has to do with your eternity. Amen? The world will pass away. But they who do my will, the will of the Lord, will stand forever. The word and prayer. Say this. The word is alive. It's alive in me. It's reproducing itself in me. Now. In this present moment. Oh, aren't you glad? Yeah. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad to get happy. Do you see the connection?
Yes.
The word of God, prayer, where is the life? In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and that word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is his word. He's still there. Just as much there as he ever was. He is in that word. And when you receive that word, when you speak it out of your mouth, look, turn to Psalm 45. Listen to this. Psalm 45, verse 1. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. How many of you could say that all day long? That's a good theme in my heart. My heart is overflowing with a good... I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Are you ready to write something? Where do you write that? On the table of your heart. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the table of your heart. How do you write those things, the word of God, on your heart? You speak them out of your mouth. And that's how you write it on the table of your heart, because when you speak it out of your mouth, it's being recorded on your heart. And that record starts to rework your imagination. It starts to rework your expectations. It starts to rework your hope and breathe new hope into you. It starts to rework all of those things to produce what he wants his word to produce in you. Life, light, truth. Truth makes you free. Light drives darkness.
Yes.
Light drives darkness away from me. Light is truth and it makes me free. Light, it'll rearrange all. It'll take that depression and cast it out of your life.
Yeah.
It'll take your past and destroy it.
Yeah.
It'll disintegrate it.
Yes.
It'll take your sorrows and say, it wasn't so bad after all, because look at you now.
Yes.
Was that so bad? Look what Jesus went through.
Yeah.
And look at him. He's doing fine now. Look at the Apostle Paul, and you read about the things that guy went through. I'll tell you something, a crown of righteousness, I'll take that any day. Give me those things, and I'll have a crown of righteousness. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which he will give me on that day. And you know what Paul will do? He'll take the crown and say, here, Jesus, it all belongs to you. There'll be a lot of crowns at Jesus' feet. And when you give, he will receive you even greater. And you give that, he'll give you even greater. That's the way it works. When you give to the King of Kings, he gives you his storehouse. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Oh, walking in this world, we need mercy. We need to walk in mercy, especially with our own brothers and sisters. Oh, yeah. I love you with the love of the Lord. And then you see him come in and you go, oh. Got to get over this stuff. That's flesh.
Yeah.
Everybody makes a mistake. Everybody says the wrong thing. Everybody does the wrong thing once in a while. We're all in the same soup. God's stirring the pot because he wants us to meld together, harmonize. He wants to satisfy the palate of this world with something worth having. But if they're looking at us, you know, Mahatma Gandhi said this. He says, I always wanted to be a Christian until I met one. An indictment. But we've got better things to say of us, don't we? When you pray the word, and I'm not talking about silent prayers. Well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with a silent prayer. I mean, God knows what's going on in your heart. And if you're sincere and you're in a place that you can't open up your mouth and start saying things, I don't know where that may be because it always works. But he knows and he will answer those prayers. But the thing is, when you pray prayers and you're saying prayers, you're saying his word, when you're coupling your desire with his word and you're backing it up with two or three or more scriptures and find the promise and back that up with scriptures and you start bringing that before the Lord and saying it and saying it and saying it, what you're doing is you're reasoning together with him and he's reasoning together with you and you're finding some happy medium because there's a lot of things that I thought I wanted. I'm glad he didn't give them to me. But whatsoever you desire, when praying, you receive them, and you will have them. When praying, you believe you receive them. When you give, believe you receive. When you seek, believe you're going to find. Look, we talked at the men's fellowship breakfast. If you missed that breakfast yesterday morning, I wanted to tell you something. That was good. Good food, Evie. Evie did a good deal there. You miss something. But there is something called the other side. When Jesus said, let us go to the other side of the lake, you need to know in your life, wherever you are, whatever the shortage, whatever the lack, there is another side. There is another side. It is real. And it is waiting for you. And you've got to believe it's there. That's the only prerequisite. You believe you're getting to the other side and you're leaving who you were, what you were, where you were, and you're leaving that behind because you believe that where he's bringing you to that other side will fulfill you because he knows what you need before you do. He knows. He knows. He created you. He made you. He knows what you like, what you don't like. He knows your priorities. He knows your very motives. He knows all of it, and he's got a plan. So turn to Mark chapter 11. We're going to look at something here. These are verses that Kenneth Hagin wrote. But Mark 11:23 says, well, he said in verse 22, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, who did he leave out here?
Nobody.
Does this include you?
Yes.
Whosoever shall say, remember your tongue is the pen of a ready writer,
yes.
That you're writing, it's on the table of your heart. When I first got saved, I went out in the yard and started commanding trees to be plucked up by the root. It didn't work. But whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, let's take some meditation. Whosoever shall say and believe and not doubt in his heart shall have. Have what? What he says. It doesn't say you'll have what you pray. It says you'll have what you say. Therefore, in verse 24, therefore, I say unto you, Jesus is conferring something over to you. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now, when you fill that whatsoever things you desire, when you are abiding in him, when you are present with him, when you are staying with him, when you are living in him, your desire will match his. This is what he's saying here. Your desires, your old flesh desires, will lose grip and they'll lose hold and they'll dissolve. And your desires will be his desires. Then you'll be praying on earth as it is in heaven. God's word has free reign through that. So therefore, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them when you have. So do you believe you receive when you get it? Yes, but you believe when you pray. When you pray, you believe you receive. And if you don't believe you receive, you have no business asking because you don't know his will. His will is his word. So bring his word to him. Can this get any more simple for us? But how complicated we make it sometimes because we get the gears clogged with other things. I'm going to back up on that. I don't. That can't be our confession to say, well, I get things clogged up once. No, you know what? I have the mind of Christ. I have the wisdom of God on the inside of me. I have his thoughts, his mind. I know his thoughts towards me are good and not evil. I know his thoughts. So, well, I'll tell you what I think. I think, what does God think? What's on his heart today? what's he got on the agenda today? You know, we need to learn to be led. I think that's going to be our series next month. I'm not sure yet. How to be led by the Holy Spirit. And because, you know, we grow up, you are a spirit. We grow up, I was never taught how to be led by the Spirit. Were you? I wasn't even taught that I was a spirit.
Right.
You are a spirit. And so you get Christians who love God, believe God, they're on their way to heaven, but every time they get an ache or pain, immediately they go to the doctor because that's what they were conditioned to, rather than go to the word that has the answer and the healing and the power that you need. How do you do it? You say it. You believe it. You receive it. And you say it. And you keep saying it, and you keep saying it until you believe it. Do you notice? Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall what?
Say.
And believe that those things which he says, he shall have whatsoever. Three times it says say, one time it says believe. You need to say it and say it and say it until it gets on your heart, the table of your heart. Until your heart starts producing that image and that expectation in you, and that expectation turns into something called faith. And let it be done. Okay. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, that John alluded to earlier. We need to pray the word. We need to let the word reproduce itself in our prayers. Ephesians 1, verse 17 says that this is a prayer that Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, and since it is in the Word of God, it is for all of us. So this is a spirit praying prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Say this, Father,
give me
the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In the knowledge of Jesus, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened to know the hope of my calling. What is the riches of the inheritance that is mine. And what the exceeding greatness of your power is. To me, who believes. According to the working of your power, which you wrought in Christ. When you raised him from the dead. That power lives in you. It lives in me. What is that? That's resurrection power.
Yes.
Get over yourself. Because you can't do this.
Right.
Without him, you can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. Amen. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above all principalities, all power. You are in him, you are above. The first thing he told us to do, cast out demons. Mark chapter 16 in the Great Commission. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands on the sick. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You have insulation from the things of this world. Pray these prayers. Pray these prayers. Resurrection power, life-giving power. Kratos, Ishkus, muscle, spiritual muscle is in these prayers. And as it put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. When you start doing things in your own strength, it's like you take the head off here and you start running around trying to do things on your own. Say, I know what I can do. I know. No, you can't. You need the head. You need to be connected with the head. Otherwise, what happens if you're not connected to the head, you start to grow limp. You don't get that. The nervous system isn't fed with the blood. Nothing. Nothing is working without. You know, when I walked in the door this morning, you didn't say, hey, there's Pastor Tom and his head. You didn't say that, did you? Wake up. That's one prayer. Pray that my Kenneth Hagin prayed this prayer. He had this open in the church where he was pastoring. And he would go in there two or three times a day and just open to these two prayers in Ephesians. And he would pray them every day, two, three times a day. And after 30 days, he started getting all kinds of revelation. All kinds of understanding started coming. The scripture started opening up to him. And then he had to apologize to the church. He said, I don't know how you bore with me for so long, but man, I was stupid. I feel now like I was biblically illiterate, and I know the Bible, but I just didn't know what it said. So many people walking around with this big Bible under their arm, and one day it's going to explode. You say, wow, this really is for today. Amen. Oh, yeah, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Flip over a page to Ephesians 3. And in 14, Paul said, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when you go into your prayer, do you like to just get on your knees, lift up your eyes and say, I love you? Did he give you, did he take away that old cruddy, gunk-filled life of yours and make you clean? For this cause, I bow my knees, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Do you know that the church, the family of God, is in two parts? Part of us is in heaven, the other part is in the earth. It's one family, and we are still connected by the head. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Is there any end to his riches and glory? To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You can go to God if a loved one is sick and you want them to be healed. If they've just undergone something horrendous, doctor gave them bad news. You can go to him and say, would you grant me to be strengthened with might? Do you know what that word might is?
Dunamis.
It's where we get the word dynamite from. It's explosive, self-energizing, spiritual power for healing. Jesus called it virtue. He felt virtue go out of him. You can get to a place where you can feel this. Rick Renner did this one time. He had been fasting for like 40 days over something. And he was going back and forth with God. Well, after the 40 days, he got a phone call saying so-and-so was sick. And they're calling some ministers over to see if there's anything you might be able to do. That's the way they put it. That's faith talking, isn't it? Well, God loves them. So Rick Renner went over and said, what's going on? And they said, okay, well, here's the situation. He went over to lay hands on him. Before he even laid his hands, he felt virtue just come right out of him. And that scripture, just when Jesus said, I felt virtue, he knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Sometimes fasting causes unbelief to just go out of our life, and so that you can hook up in a more powerful way. You know, when you're filled with that power, the devil doesn't want to be around you. Because that it hurts. It hurts him. It reminds him of the big hurt that Jesus put on him 2,000 years ago that he is still reeling and vibrating and shaking with. He is shaking from that wound. He got kicked in the head so hard it bruised Jesus' heel. And he did it for you, so that you would be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now that makes it sound, that almost makes it sound like he's up here somewhere, but he dwells in my heart by faith. No. Faith brings the presence of God. Faith talks God's word, and he is one with his word. When Christ dwells in your heart by faith, you're going to talk like it, and the presence of God comes. He always follows his word with signs and wonders following. Confirm it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, the deep, the far reaches of God, and to know God, the love of Christ, which passes human knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. I've had people say, yeah, you know, I mean, all the fullness of God, really? I mean, yes, really. Yes, really. In fact, you better be. You're just not exercised in it. You've been listening to the world. You've been speaking what the world speaks. You've been thinking what the way the world thinks. Look, God loves them, but they're powerless. How many doctors say, I'm sorry, we've done all that we can do, and they're beyond hope? No, they're not. They're beyond the scope of their understanding, but they are not beyond hope, because we've got the God of all hope who is able to do something about their situation, who gave you dunamis so that he could work through you. Spiritual power, that you be strengthened with dunamis by his spirit in your inner man. He wants to do these things through you. He longs to do these things through you. He wants to glorify, the spirit wants to glorify the name of Jesus through miracles and signs and wonders that the world can't do, that they need. They need to see. The only way we can get through to a spiritually dead world is through miracles, signs, and wonders. But if we relegate them all to the past or sometime in the future and never now, we're not going to walk in them. We've been taught wrong. And it is heresy to say that God doesn't do those things anymore. Are you kidding me? Oh, that is one of the gates of hell we got to kick right out of the minds of people. Oh, that is such a disgrace. I am born again. And the perfect has come. The guy who wrote the perfect needed these gifts. I've heard it all. I've heard all the arguments. And you know what? When I read the Word of God, I go, and I build myself and edify myself in the Holy Ghost, building up my most holy faith so I can let it loose and do good in this world, because with Him I can do all things. It's the way it works, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Do these prayers, each one, do it two or three times a day. Start working the Word of God into your prayers and letting the life of God's Word start to reproduce itself in those prayers. Let Him be that mediator, that intercessor. Because when you speak the Word, it gets written on your heart. And what does God do? He starts reading your heart. He starts opening you up. Why? To condemn? No. To empower you. To bring you to where you need to be, when you need to be there, so that you can meet the needs of the people. That's what it's all about. That's what His ministry was all about. That's what Paul's ministry was all about. The number one need in this world is salvation. God wants us. God's waiting for His harvest. Jesus wants His harvest, and He's going to get it. Are we going to be part of it? Are we going? Are there going to be rewards waiting for us in heaven, or unopened gifts that we can't use up in heaven? Two or three times a day, wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of Jesus, resurgence of hope. Start to understand what your inheritance is, what's provided for you, how to access it, and how to use it. Honor your Father who gave you that inheritance. Write it on your heart. Continually speak it. Build that truth into your spirit man until that spirit man of yours begins to lead you instead of being led by your flesh. It needs to be strengthened and empowered with the Word of God, the daily bread. Let it become rooted in you, grounded in you, reproducing itself in you until it begins to displace doubt, fear, confusion, unbelief, and start establishing God's will in your heart and in your mind. Get your mind renewed with that, and you will be transformed. Revelation will come. You need a steady diet of this. Revelation will come. What is that? That's something that is revealed through your spirit. It is not something that you know up here by yourself. It's revelation knowledge and understanding. And then you know what? The Father is going to start walking in you, with you. You'll be able to fellowship with Him, and He'll be able to fellowship with you the way He'd like to fellowship with a lot of people, but they're not open to it because they're not walking in His Word. They're walking in how they feel, what they know, what their own ability is, and all these. But when you're now, God the Father will start to fellowship with you in new ways. He'll start to open up new doors for you, and it'll be exciting. Amen. You honor His Word and His instruction, and He will honor you. And now your desires and His will meet. There's no shortcuts. You can't read this like the encyclopedia and say, okay, that's it, and I'll do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it's a compilation of truth that the Holy Spirit can take out, and He can quicken, make it alive to you, and you'll know which way He's leading. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that Your Word will not return to You void, but it will accomplish that which pleases You, and it will prosper in the thing whereunto it was sent. Lord, we thank You, Father, that Your Word is full, pregnant with life, pregnant with power, pregnant with life-changing truth. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to do that. You may I've been going to church for years, but I never really did that. I never really gave myself completely over to Him. I've given them over to my hurts, my wounds, my opinions. But I've never really given myself to Him. Pray this prayer. Let's all pray it together. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died for me. And I receive
the salvation
that is in Christ.
I give myself
to Jesus
to do with what you will.
And for the rest of my life,
I will walk with you.
I will serve you.
And I will do what you ask.
I will go where you lead me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.